The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Today we began our service just a few moments ago by singing these words, "All are welcome." And that's such an important thing to sing together. The last time we sang this was on February 23rd, the day that we as a church became an open and affirming, publicly open and affirming congregation. And so now we can say with confidence, and we sing it. I was getting a little emotional as we were singing together, "All are really welcome here." But the funny thing about today's gospel is that it kind of turns that song on its head a little bit, because today's gospel isn't about us welcoming anybody. It's about us being welcomed into the world. We don't really talk much about that kind of welcome or think about things in that way too much as a church. We're the ones doing the welcoming, right? Thank you very much. But today Jesus says, practice being welcomed. Practice being a guest. And that's harder than it sounds, because being welcomed is vulnerable. When you're a guest in somebody's house, you're at their mercy, right? You have to eat their food, you sleep in their lumpy beds. It's vulnerable. It's an experience that can change us and transform us. And it's exactly that kind of vulnerability, exactly that kind of experience that guests feel sleeping in somebody's lumpy bed, that Jesus is calling us into today. The hardest thing for me about preaching online is that I know that everything's recorded, and I tend to tell the same stories over and over again in sermons, so you all just find me out. But many of you know that I spent the summer of 2015 traveling to Cuba for research with the University of Chicago. And I've told many parts of that story before at Shepherd of the Valley, but this part of the story is something I don't think I've shared before. And for this part of the story, you got to know that in high school, I studied German, and in college, I studied German, and then in seminary, I studied Biblical Greek. And so I got this grant, but I didn't have much Spanish under my belt. And so I was going to go do research in Cuba, and so I needed to speak Spanish. So in the months ahead, I studied on my own. I did Duolingo. I bought books. And then on my way to Cuba, I actually flew to Guatemala to this really wonderful school for intensive language training. And then flew back through Mexico City on the way to Havana. And when I left Guatemala, I felt so proud of my Spanish, right? I felt so good. I was having these complex conversations with people on the bus as I was going to the airport out of Guatemala. I just felt wonderful. So I was off to Havana. I felt great. And I felt like, okay, I've got this. And Cuba is still sort of a difficult place. And even in 2015, as it was opening, it was a difficult place to travel to. But I had my Spanish. I had grant money literally sewn into the pockets of every part of my clothing, because in Cuba you couldn't use American credit or debit cards. So I had $5,000 of cash strapped to me. And then I had this embossed letter from the University of Chicago signifying and telling anyone who read it my importance, why I was there, right? That was going to be my ticket in, was this embossed letter from the university. So I get to Havana, and my hosts that I'd be staying with there sent a driver to pick me up from the airport, and sure enough, there he is. We exchange a few basic and warm words of hello. I get in the car. It's very humid, and he starts talking to me, and beyond the word hola, I couldn't understand a word he was saying. Not one. I had been warned that Cuban Spanish was going to be different, but I hadn't expected what started pouring out of his mouth. And I think to myself, okay, calm down. It's humid. You just got off a plane. Maybe your ears are plugged. So we get to my host family in Vedado, in the district there in Havana. And they start talking to me. And again, it's like nonsense. I can't understand a single word that's coming out of everyone's mouth. And I'm so flustered that by this experience that the only things that are coming out of my mouth are German, and then I start conjugating Greek, biblical Greek verbs out loud, and then I start speaking English, and then back to German, and then back to Greek, but no Spanish. None. It's all just somehow gone. All of that confidence is just out the window. And I go to bed that night, and I remember writing Becky an email that said something like, I have made a terrible, terrible mistake in coming here. So the next day, I get up, I have breakfast, and my host, her name was Milagro, she speaks very slowly and very simply to me in the morning, which just compounds my shame and fear. And so I eat alone in the garden, and I walk out onto the streets of Havana for the first time to start my big, important research with my grant money and my embossed letter of importance in my pocket. And it doesn't take long, like maybe 2 days, before that fear just like settles in even more deeply, right? After a week, I find myself walking the same exact streets, the same routes through Havana, eating at the same restaurant over and over again, trying nothing new, literally talking to no one, walking the same places over and over again, because it's the thing I did when I first got there, and I just was sticking to it. And about one morning, maybe a week or 10 days in, Milagro sets out my breakfast in the morning in the garden, and I notice that there's the second plate set up. And she says, very slowly, she says, we have another guest, and his name is Sergio. And for some reason there, in my loneliness and fear, this really funny thing happened. I became indignant that I'd have to share my breakfast with somebody named Sergio. Why? Because I have my routines. I have the way I do things. I was doing just fine in my routines, thank you very much, even though I wasn't. So down comes this Spaniard named Sergio down the stairs, and he plops himself down next to me, opposite my breakfast, and he says, so, Marcus, what are we doing today? And I'm like, what? What do you mean, we? I didn't quite say this, but the essence of what I said was, I'm here on important research business. You're just a tourist. I'm here to walk through my city with my embossed letter. That's what I'm going to do today. And he drinks his coffee and he says, Marcus, Milagro tells me you can't speak a word of Spanish. And the shame of this just is creeping in. And suddenly I realized that everybody knows that I've been found out, right? Even Milagro knows the truth. Of course she knows the truth. And then he says it again in English. He says, so, what are we doing today? And I try it again. I say, oh, I have important things I have to do. And he just cuts right through it. And he says, come on, stop kidding yourself. You can't do anything if you can't speak Spanish. So let's do this. Why don't you come with me? Let's go explore together. Today, Jesus tells the disciples, you're not the ones doing the welcoming. Just drop that already. Today, your call is to be welcomed I think as the church, not just this church, but as the church, we are so used to being the ones who are in control, right? We're the ones used to doing the welcoming. We're the ones who are opening our doors. We're the ones opening the doors and welcoming the world into those doors with our embossed letters of self-importance, right? That we forget that this is a fundamental part of the mission of God, to be vulnerable as guests to the things and places and people and experiences that we don't know. That part of our call is to be as vulnerable as people traveling the world with nothing in our hands, to travel with God into the unknown and to experience God's vulnerability to those places firsthand. That's much less comfortable than hiding behind embossed letters and images of self-importance. So back in Havana, with Sergio, this is the fun part of the story. Everything changes, right? The city opens up to me, and Sergio is by my side, and I'm not making this up. We walk through the city, and people just start talking to him. And he just introduces them to me, and suddenly I have connections and friends and places outside of my usual routines and routes that I usually visited. And suddenly, I'm out salsa dancing every night because Sergio has found me a salsa dancing teacher. And suddenly, I'm out talking to people on the streets every day and actually doing the things that I want to do in the first place. And by the time Sergio left a week later, everything had changed. That's what Jesus is talking about today. Most days we can't see how those images of ourselves, those embossed letters of self-importance, how they're keeping us from what God is actually doing out on the road, how they're actually stopping us, how that sense of self-importance, those old ideas and things we've clung to, are actually just blinding us. Because when we are the ones calling the shots, we miss out entirely on what God is doing right next to us. When we insist that we're the ones in charge, we end up walking the same dead roads, seeing the same things over and over and over again. And today Jesus is saying, hit the road and be a guest. I think something like this is happening around us right now, around the church in this time. And we don't have to travel the world to see it or experience it. In fact, maybe it's good that we can't travel anywhere right now. Right? The world around us is changing. And the question is not whether it's changing. The question is whether we as a church are willing to be as vulnerable to that change as Jesus is telling us to be. Are we going to hide from important conversations about racism and white supremacy because they're uncomfortable? Or are we going to be guests who show up willing to sleep on an old lumpy mattress for a while? Are we going to listen with our ears vulnerable to the cries of people who are telling us that the healthcare system just isn't cutting it right now, and it's leaving a disproportionate number of black and brown families by the side? Or are we going to hide again behind that sense of what's easy and comfortable? I mean, we could go on and on and on about questions like this. We know those old roads. And those old roads and old ideas and old embossed letters just won't save us. Jesus today is like my friend Sergio sitting across the breakfast table saying, come on, drop the act already. Just come with me. So, a few months after Sergio leaves, I'm in Havana in the last couple weeks of my time there. And after I traveled the island, I came back to Havana, and I kept encountering people in that last few weeks who were as confused and scared as I had been when I first got there. People from Germany and Israel and France and Thailand, all these different people who had come to travel to this beautiful place. And the weirdest thing happened, which was I became their translator. right? In this last couple weeks, I would take people, strangers, I'd take them around the city and I'd introduce them to my favorite sights and sounds and bartenders and jazz musicians. And I realized that I had been transformed when this older German man looked at me as I was taking him to a restaurant and he said, "How long have you been fluent in Spanish?" And I thought, ah, Sergio. Jesus says, whoever welcomes you also welcomes God. And that's beautiful because it means that when we travel through our lives vulnerably, we do so accompanied by God. We do so in the strong company of grace. Embossed letters of self-importance can't give us grace. They only make us fearful. But this proximity to grace transforms us, even in the most threatening of places. Grace takes us by the hand and says, "Don't be afraid. You're not alone. Come sleep on this lumpy mattress and check out what I'm doing in the world." Thanks be to God. Amen.